The Parshiot of Shemot, Va'ira, Bo are very high tension, right? Every moment there's an impending plague that Moshe is coming to Paro, and they're in this constant clash of, if you don't let my people go, then God is going to bring this upon your people and this upon your people and this upon your land. And Paro says, I will not let the people go. And in comes the plague, and Paro comes running to Moshe. Please remove this plague. Please tell God to stop the plague. We'll let them go. We'll let them go. We'll let them go. Of course, as soon as the plague ends, Paro says, I won't let those people go. Why would I let the Jewish people go? And we go through this over and over and over again throughout these parshiot. And there is this tension of Paro, who is enslaving the Jewish people, while we see the overwhelming power of Hashem and how we seem to be enslaved by this human being who is in direct conflict with God. And amidst all of this conflict, we are given the first mitzvah as a Jewish people. Now, let's think exactly what is the context of this mitzvah. Moshe has already told Paro what is going to come about during Makas Bechoros, that this is going to be the final Makkah. This is going to be, as it says in the Pasuk, there is going to be a scream louder than any that has ever been before. There is going to be such terror in the land as every firstborn, from Paro's firstborn child to the firstborn of every animal, is going to die. And after this, the Jewish people is finally going to be able to leave Egypt. So God tells us what's going to happen during Makas Bechoros, and then we are about to hear what the Jewish people should be doing at the same time in order to prepare to leave. We are about to be commanded in the Karban Pesach, and right there, wedged in the middle, before the oncoming doom of Makas Bechoros and the instructions to Bnei Yisrael regarding their exodus from Egypt, their long-awaited departure from this land, we receive what seems to be a very innocuous mitzvah. Shmos Parak Yud Bet Pasuk Bet. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chadashim. This month should be for you the head of all months. Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodshei HaShana. This should be the first month to you for all the months of the year. Now, this is the commandment that we have of Rosh Chodesh, that every month, with Chodesh Nisan, we have a Rosh Chodesh. We celebrate the beginning of the month. We mark the beginning of the month. So this pasuk actually contains within it two ideas. The first is that we should have this concept of Rosh Chodesh, that at the beginning of every month, we should mark it and we should sanctify it. And also, Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodshei HaShana, that Chodesh Nisan, the month that we are in now, which is the seventh month of the year, should really become the first month of the year. This practice is still practiced until today. We have the idea of Rosh Chodesh, that we have the idea that in the beginning of every month, we sanctify the month, we say Hallel on that day. There is the idea that we should dress in nicer clothing. We should mark it as a holy spiritual day. Specifically for women, it is meant to be a holy day. Women shouldn't do laundry. They should relax a little. Halavai, we should be able once a month, I'm not doing laundry, I'm not doing anything, I'm just going to sit back and relax. But it is meant to be a holy, sanctified day, not fully a holiday, but a day that we mark with its importance. And this sets on course our calendar for the year, that based on when we mark the beginning of the year, that is when our holidays are going to fall out. And that is how we are going to begin our observance of all the special days throughout the year. So the question that I want to ask today is why? Why do we have to mark the first of each month? Why do we have this concept of Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh, we are going to see, is based on the lunar calendar. So why, at the beginning of each lunar month, are we meant to mark a special day? On the solar calendar, we don't do anything to mark the beginning of each month. There's no difference between February 28th and March 1st, except that you write February 28th as opposed to March 1st. Other than that, there's no significance to the first day of the month. So the question here is, why do we mark Rosh Chodesh? What is the importance of Rosh Chodesh? And the second question that I want to address is why now? Why we are really at this climax of everything that is going to happen in Egypt. We see the impending Makas Bechoros. We see the impending exodus from Egypt. And right here, Hashem feels the need to pause and say, hold on, time for the first mitzvah. By the way, at the beginning of every month, you should mark the month with a special day. So why are we commanded in Rosh Chodesh Bichlal? Why are we commanded at all with the observance of Rosh Chodesh? And why specifically here? Why specifically now? What is its importance and relevance to the story that we are in the middle of? So the first approach that I want to look at is the approach of the Sforno. So if you look on source number 2 on your sheets, Sforno Sham, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, the Sforno is addressing what does this pasuk mean? Mikan Ve'ilach, from here on, Yihyeh HaChodeshim Shalachem, the months should be for you. La'asot Bachem Kirtzonchem, that you should be able to do with them as you wish. Aval B'yamei HaShiabad, but in the days of slavery, Lo Hayu Yameichem Shalachem, your days were not your own. Aval hayu la'avodat achirim v'ratzonam. Rather, they were for the serving of others and their will. Lefichach, rishon hu lachem l'chodshei hashana. Therefore, this is the first month that is for you from all of the months of the year. Ki bo hitchil mitziutichem habchiri. Because your choice, your ability to have free will in your existence begins now. This is the first month that you will have control over your own time. What is the point the Sforno is making here? The Sforno is saying, what is a marked aspect of slavery? That you have no control over your time. That everything you do, every move you make is for the purpose of someone else. It is for someone else's benefit. So when you wake up in the morning, when you take your lunch break, when you go for exercise, when you go to sleep at night, is all on someone else's schedule and for someone else's needs. That they need you to wake up early in the morning, not because you are a morning person, but because they need the work to be done in the field before it gets so hot outside. Or why do you have to go to sleep so late? Not because you are someone who is more productive once the sun goes down, but rather because they need you to finish working late into the evening. Your time is not in your control when you are a slave. So God is choosing specifically this point, which is a transition point. We are talking about how the Egyptians are finally going to be defeated, about their impending downfall, and our impending exodus, our transition into a free people. And it is at this point that God says, I am going to give you a mitzvah. I am going to give you the first mitzvah that I am going to give over to the entire Jewish people. And I am going to give you a mitzvah regarding time. That you must recognize that you are not just leaving from somewhere and going to live somewhere else. You are about to undergo a tremendous transition from an enslaved people to a free people. And it is at that transition point that we must mark this transition and give you a means through which to embrace this transition. And the Sforno says, Hashem gave them the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh to recognize that they now have the ability not only to live freely in their own time, but to sanctify that time, to do with their time what they will. And what better use for having control over your own time than to sanctify it, to make it a celebratory day, to acknowledge God on that day. So the Sforno is saying, I want you, this month is now for you. This is the first month that is going to be under your control. In Adar, you are an enslaved people, and now in Nisan, you are a free people. Nisan is Shalachem. It is the first month that is Shalachem, and I want you to mark it. And each month, I want you to embrace your ability to control your time and sanctify it accordingly. That we don't believe in just general freedom to do whatever you want. We believe this is a large conversation when it comes to the discussions of Pesach. That the leaving from Egypt, the exodus from Egypt, was not a leaving from, it was leaving to. That we were going to something. We were going towards a higher purpose. So being able to control your own time just for yourself, to have nothing higher to do with it, that's not what we believe. What we believe, the Sforno says, is you are now going to have control over your time. Let us do something purposeful with it. So that is the commandment of Rosh Chodesh. You are going to take your time. You are going to sanctify it because this month is the first month that is yours. It is under your control. So that is the first approach of the Sforno. The second approach is that of the Ramban. And the Ramban is giving us a deeper look into the idea behind Rosh Chodesh that explains to us not just why Rosh Chodesh was given in the here and now in that specific place, but why Rosh Chodesh had to be the first mitzvah, what it means that it set us off on our journey of receiving mitzvah. then we think that now really sets about a cascade of mitzvot, that we are going to have Rosh Chodesh, then we are going to have Korban Pesach, then eventually we are going to, finally, in not so long, we are going to arrive at Har Sinai and receive the remainder of the mitzvot. So what the Ramban is addressing is, why is Rosh Chodesh the beginning of this cascade of mitzvot? So the Ramban begins, and the Ramban starts off and says, "Hachodesh hazeh lachem Rosh Chodeshim, zo mitzvah rishona shetziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael al yedei Moshe." This is the first mitzvah that Bnei Yisrael received from Hashem through the hands of Moshe. V'lachin amar be'eretz Mitzrayim, and therefore it says in Eretz Mitzrayim, kishar mitzvot shebatorah hayu behar Sinai, because the remainder of the mitzvot were given at Har Sinai. Now I want to skip down. If you go to the second paragraph, the paragraph that starts with v'lefi, if you go to the second line, go to the word v'ta'am, which is around seven words in. We are again in the second paragraph, second line, seven words in. V'ta'am hachodesh hazeh lachem Rosh Chodeshim. What is the meaning of hachodesh hazeh lachem? This month should be for you the head of the months. Sheyimnu oto Yisrael chodesh harishon. That Bnei Yisrael should count this month as the first month. V'mimenu yimnu kol hachodeshim sheni v'shlishi ad tashlom hashana b'shnei masar chodesh. The order of the months is going to be Nisan is chodesh harishon, Iyar is going to be Chodesh HaShini, and so on and so forth. That we are going to count, the first month is going to be Nisan, and in the Torah, every subsequent month is going to be referred to in relation to Nisan. So it's the second month, it's the third month, it's the fourth month, it's fifth month, sixth month, and so on. Kidei sheyihye zezikaron b'nis hagadol, so that we should always constantly be remembering the great miracle that happened. Because when we mention each of the months, we should remember the nes that happened. Therefore, the months do not have names in the Torah. Rather, it should say in the third month. Therefore, as we see, as it gets further on in the Torah, it will be referring to Yehi Vishna Hasheni, Bechodesh Hasheni. Throughout the rest of the Torah, we see it refer as Chodesh HaRishon, Chodesh Hasheni, Chodesh HaShlishi, all in relation to Chodesh Nisan. It's not referred to as Nisan, Iyar, Tammuz, Sivan, any of those months. Ubechodesh HaShvi'i Be'achad LaChodesh, V'chein Kulam. And we see throughout Torah, this is how it's referred to. He compares this to the counting of the week according to Shabbos. That when we say that Hayom Yom Rishon b'Shabbos, Hayom Yom Sheni b'Shabbos, Hayom Yom Shlishi b'Shabbos, that when we say every day in our tefillah, and when we refer to the days of the week, we don't say it's Monday, it's Tuesday, it's Wednesday. These are not names that we have in Torah. These are not names that we have in Judaism. Rather, we have Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Revi'i. They are all in relation to Shabbos. And this should be the same, that we are saying HaChodesh HaRishon, V'Chodesh HaSheni, V'HaShlishi, L'Ge'ulatinu. That our count all starts from our redemption and connects us back to our redemption. She'in ha-minyan hazel l'shana, that this count is not for 1 year. She'harei t'chilat shnotinu mitishrei. D'chtiv, as it says in Sefer Shemot, v'chag ha'asif t'kufat ha-shana, v'chtiv b'tzit ha-shana imkin, k'shenekra l'chodesh nisan, rishon v'latishrei shvi'i, pitrono rishon l'ge'ula v'shvi'i aleha v'zeh ta'am rishon hu'lachan. She'inenu rishon b'shana, aval hu rishon lachem, she'nekra lo lezikaron ge'ulatinu. So he says, but how do we deal with the fact that we know that Tishrei is really the beginning of the year? Then we have this idea that there are different new years, as we know we have coming up on Tu B'Shvat. We have the new year of the Ilanot, the new year of the trees. And we know that the new year, the beginning of the actual year, the year started, because we believe Tishrei connects us back to creation, started in Tishrei. So how could it be that the year starts in Tishrei, but Nisan is the Chodesh HaRishon? And he says, this is the meaning of the word Lachem. That this is Ta'am Rishon Hu Lachem. This is the first one for you. She'einenu Rishon B'Shana. That it is not truly the first one in the year. It's not the beginning of the year. Aval Hu Rishon Lachem. But it's the first one that is for you. She'nekra lo lezikaron ge'ulatinu. Because when did your year start? When were you able to begin your count? When did it matter to you? In Chodesh Nisan. Then when they say this is the first day of the rest of your life, our Geula, our redemption from Egypt, was the first day of the rest of our lives as Jewish people. That we went through such a transformation there that the beginning of our months, the beginning of our year, has to start at Nisan. It can't start in Tishrei. The year may have been, the world may have been created in Tishrei. This may be the technical beginning of the year. But Rishon Hu Lachem, the first one for you, the first one for you as Jewish people, that is going to be with the month of Nisan. V'kvar hiskiru rabotinu zeha inyan v'amru shmo chadashim alu imanu mi bavel. It discusses in the Gemara in Yerushalmi that where did we get then the names that we use today of Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Tevet, Shvat, where did we get those names from? The Gemara in Yerushalmi tells us that Alu Imanu Mi Bavel. These are the Bavli names for the months, and we brought them up with us from Bavel. Kimitchila lo hayu lahem shemot etzlenu, because originally we didn't have names for the months. V'hasi babazeh, and the reason for this, kimitchila hayam minyanam zichar leitzias mitrayim. Because our count had been connecting us to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Aval kasher alinu mi Bavel v'nitzkayim masha amar hakatov. However, when we left from Bavel, we had to fulfill another mitzvah, which is brought down in Yirmiyahu. V'lo yomar od chai Hashem asher ha'ala b'nei Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, ki im chai Hashem asher ha'ala v'asher hevi et b'nei Yisrael mi Eretz Tzafon. The Gemara Yerushalmi tells us that in Yirmiyahu there is a quote that tells us that we shouldn't be constantly going back to the Geula from Mitzrayim, that we shouldn't only say that this is coming from the Hashem, that thank you Hashem who took us out of Egypt. Rather, with each subsequent Geula, we should be saying thank you to the Hashem who took us out of Eretz Tzafon. Chazarnu l'kra chadashim v'shim shenekra'im be'eretz Bavel l'haskir kishim amadnu u'misham ha'elanu Hashem Yisbarach. So he's saying the same idea that we had here when we left from Egypt and saying Chodesh HaRishon, Chodesh HaSheni, Chodesh HaShlishi, that it should connect us back to the Geula in Egypt, is the same reason why we use the names of the months today. That we say Nisan, Iyar, Tevet, Shvat, that these are all the months that should remind us that Hashem also saved us from Babel. So using the numbers reminds us of the Geula from Mitzrayim, and using the names reminds us of the Geula from Babel. V'lachin amar katov v'chodesh harishon hu chodesh nisan, kemo shehipil por hu hagoral, v'or hayom hagayim v'artso paras umadai, kachim korim otam nisan v'tishrei v'kulam kamonu. V'hine naskir v'chadashim ha-geula hashini, kasher asanu adhina berishona. So the idea that today we use the names is not detracting from the counting of the months using the numbers. Rather, it's reminding us about the subsequent Geula, that the numbers remind us of the original Geula, and the names remind us of the subsequent Geula. So why is the Ramban saying we have this mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh? This mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, he doesn't address that so much, of why should we sanctify the month. But the idea of counting Rosh Chodesh, of observing Rosh Chodesh, and having this idea of counting our time is meant to connect us back to the Geula and Mitzrayim. That it's meant to remind us each and every month that how did we come to be here observing Rosh Chodesh as free people was only because of the Geula from Mitzrayim. That when we say Chodesh HaRishon, Chodesh HaShini, Chodesh HaShlishi, we are showing that everything we do, every observance we are able to observe, is only because of the Geula and Mitzrayim. So when Hashem is saying, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, Rosh Chodeshim, this should be the first of your months, recognize that it all starts here. And everything that comes after this relates back to here. And this is so important as a basis for all the mitzvot that are to come. Because many of our mitzvot, we are going to say, Zeichar Leitzias Mitzrayim, we are going to say it is in commemoration of our leaving from Egypt. But even in the mitzvot that are not directly Zeichar Leitzias Mitzrayim, they all connect back to the fact that we are now a free people, that we are a people that Hashem saved from Egypt. Hashem redeemed us, brought us to Har Sinai, and gave us the Torah, allowing us and enabling us to live the life that we live today. So with each Rosh Chodesh, there is this idea that we are remembering where it all came from. And with all the mitzvot that are to come, we are also going to recognize that where did it all start It all started at Rosh Chodesh. It all started when Hashem told us, this is now going to be for you. You are going through this transition. Your time, as we said, according to the Sfarta, your time is now yours. Hashem saved you. And now you are able to continue on your journey in order to be able to observe the rest of Torah and Mitzvot. So again, the opinion of the Sfarno is saying that why do we have Rosh Chodesh? Because our time is now going to belong to us. And therefore Hashem says at this transition point from enslavement to salvation, you are going to have to observe, you are going to have to clearly mark that your time is now yours, and you are going to be able to take your time and you are going to be able to sanctify it to God. The Ramban is saying that the entire point is to connect everything back to our Geula from Mitzrayim. To recognize that this is the starting point, this is the jumping off point for everything that is to come. So the Ramban says that Hashem here gives us our very first mitzvah that is going to be to mark the transition point, that I want you to mark the point at which you became a free people. And we are constantly going to remind ourselves through our observation of Rosh Chodesh and through our counting of the months of this Geula of the point at which we became free people. So that is the point of the Ramban. That the point of the Ramban, that we are now marking the beginning of the new part of our lives, and we are constantly remembering the Geula, the time where it all started. Now, the final source is the approach of Rav Hirsch. So I don't have the actual text in Rav Hirsch. It's gotten a little complicated to get the text. Rav Hirsch was written originally in German, where I usually take most of my sources. I usually take them from Sefaria, and Sefaria for some reason now only has the German, and unfortunately I don't speak German, so we are a little bit out of luck. But either way, the Hebrew text that we have is just a translation from the original German. The English text is a translation from the original German. So if you're bear with me, you know I really like the Hebrew, but here we have English and it's not the original German, but that's the best I can do. So let's delve into the approach of Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch is approaching this slightly differently. He is really going to be addressing the question of why Rosh Chodesh? Why do we celebrate Rosh Chodesh? And then we, I think, can understand from there why it would be given now. But whereas Sforno and the Ramban really focused on why this mitzvah is given at this point, Rav Hirsch is focusing more on the general idea of why have this mitzvah at all. So Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch has a fascinating image of the spiritual power latent in this mitzvah. Rav Hirsch tells us that there was a primitive practice, which it was, as we know, that in pagan times they worshipped the sun, they worshipped the moon. But a specific practice that he points out is that there was a fear of the moon. That there was something that was very unknown about the moon, which was the cycle of the moon. That in ancient times, the primitive people did not understand what was happening. Then at certain times in the month, you saw a tiny little sliver, you saw almost nothing. Then it would grow and it would grow and it would grow until it would fill up the sky. There would be a giant full moon, and then it would begin to disappear again. So there was this idea that they feared where the moon was going. They feared it disappearing. They felt like it would never return. And then there was a certain rejoicing when the moon returned. So there was this idea that perhaps Rosh Chodesh is connected to these primitive practices, that it is also our observance of acknowledging the moon and celebrating its return. This doesn't make much sense because we celebrate Rosh Chodesh when you almost cannot see the moon at all. So it would be the opposite of these primitive practices. But Rav Hirsch said that there was a suggestion that perhaps we based our observation of Rosh Chodesh on these primitive practices of the non-Jews. So Rav Hirsch wants to give us a deeper spiritual message that is going to help us to understand what is actually going on in Rosh Chodesh. So in order to do this, Rav Hirsch first delves into the halachic process of declaring Rosh Chodesh. Rav Hirsch points to the halachic side of this law. To proclaim the new month, there must be two witnesses as to the renewed sighting of the moon. So what would happen? Everyone would be outside, and two people would see that there was a new moon, that they would say, oh, it must be time for Rosh Chodesh. So what would they do? They would run to the nearest Beis Din, and they would present to the Beis Din, a Jewish court of law, by a full panel of the judiciary. They must be received there. The Beis Din must question them as to what they saw. And only then, even with this evidence, the month is not started or sanctified as Rosh Chodesh until it is formally declared by the Beis Din. That even if two individuals both saw the moon, you don't say that from the moment that there was two witnesses, Rosh Chodesh begins then. Rather, these two witnesses have to run to Beis Din. Beis Din has to hear their case. Beis Din has to approve it. And then Beis Din has to declare the Rosh Chodesh. And then famously, they would light a bonfire on the top of the mountain and it would spread to the next mountain. So the next people would light the bonfire there to spread the message around and around that it was now Rosh Chodesh, which is the idea of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios, that the amount of time it would have taken to reach outside of Eretz Yisrael, we risk that we may have missed the original Rosh Chodesh. And therefore, in order to not be perhaps doing Malacha on a day of Yom Tov that was in fact, we were late to the game, we observe 2 days of Yom Tov in order to make sure that we would cover all our possible options of when Yom Tov would have fallen out. So he says there's this entire extensive halachic process that you need the two witnesses, you need the basin, you need the basin to declare Rosh Chodesh. And sometimes the basin can declare the Rosh Chodesh without even a sighting. If the moon has already come to 30 days and nobody has said they have seen the moon, basin can declare Rosh Chodesh on their own. So Rabbi Hirsch gives this intricate description to impress upon the reader the detailed logistic ceremony of the new moon proclamation. It is a formal legal process, not a spontaneous primitive rite. That he's saying this is not something with no order, with no rules, with no set ideas. This is not something that each person on their own is celebrating the return of the moon. What Rav Hirsch is saying is that this is a very formal legal process. That Rosh Chodesh is not just meant to be a day that we are all going to celebrate whatever it is that we see, whenever it is that we see it, as would have been in the primitive times. Rather, Rav Hirsch says this is a formal legal operation. This has logistics. There has certain real rules and ideas. And this is going to be our observation of Rosh Chodesh. But what does that have to do with the significance of Rosh Chodesh? We understand why that makes it more official than some sort of primitive moon dance. But what is the deeper significance? What is the spiritual? Why are we doing all of this? We understand there is a legal process, but why? And with this, Rav Hirsch uses a specific word. He uses the word moed. He said moed is the word for festival. It is the word for a holiday, that we should call it a moed, that we say on our longer holidays, that these are the moadim, and then we have chol hamoed. We have the days that are sort of chol, sort of moed. In the original Hebrew, though, moed does not only mean a festival. Rather, it can mean any sort of special moment, any sort of celebration, but it can also mean a meeting between two parties. That we know that we have the ohel moed, the tent, which is described in English as the ohel moed, which is described as the tent of meeting, is where Hashem would meet with Moshe. That was the meeting point between our world and Hashem. That this was the point of connection. So Rav Hirsch says that the word moed, again, means festival, it means celebration, and it also means the meeting between two parties. What does this have to do with Rosh Chodesh? We're in the beginning of our months, and consequently the dates of our festivals, moadim, to be fixed exactly by the astronomical phase of our planets so that the moon automatically made Rosh Chodesh and the festivals, then we and our God too would appear to be bound by the blind and unalterable laws of nature and our moed time of a new moon. It would give impetus to the idolatry of the cult of nature. Rav Hirsch is saying, if everything that we had on our calendar was simply set by a rotation of the astronomical beings, so it was totally set by the sun, and it seemed to be that everything that was set by the lunar calendar was totally and completely set by the moon, we had no involvement, that we would in fact feel like we are completely bound by the laws of nature. But think about it this way. July 4th is going to be, Independence Day is going to be the celebration of July 4th, whether we care or don't care. July 4th is going to come and it is going to go whenever it is going to come and whenever it is going to go, because it is a day on the solar calendar. The sun is going to rise on the fourth day in the month of July, and it will be the 4th of July. Whether or not I have a barbecue and go to the beach does not change the fact that that day is the 4th of July. Human involvement makes no difference to the solar calendar. So too with Shabbos. We say that Shabbos is a day that is divinely sanctified. That in the world of Chassidus, it is its Arusa de Leila. It is its inspiration, its spirituality is drawn from above. That when sun sets on Friday afternoon, it becomes Shabbos whether or not you are ready. And we all have quite some experience with this, that whether or not you are ready, If at 4:10 p.m. on Friday afternoon, the sun sets, Shavuos has started. Whether or not you are observing it or not, there is an inherent holiness. That is the day of Shavuos. And when the sun sets again on Saturday evening, Shavuos is now over. Whether or not you love Shavuos, you want to keep Shavuos with you, you want to pretend it's still Shavuos, you want to keep your phone away, please, gesinnte Heit, but Shavuos is over. There is not the same inherent holiness. We say that the neshama yisera, the extra soul that we have on Shavuos, it has departed. That day is no longer Shavuos. And that's why even if you forget that it's Shavuos, you lose count of the days, that day will be different. It is inherently Shavuos. Not so with the months. The months, Hashem gives us the ability. It is, as we say in Chassidus, Isarula Dilatata. This is inspired from below, that we are the ones who control when the holidays fall out. Because as we described in this extended legalistic process, there is a process to deciding when the month starts. So if there is a process to deciding when the month starts, which is ordained by the people and the Beis Din, then there is the possibility that we will perhaps see it on the wrong day. That maybe it'll be very cloudy on the day that really there it should have been Rosh Chodesh, and nobody will spot the moon. So they won't spot the moon until the next day. What happens then? Rosh Hashanah's on the wrong day. Yom Kippur's on the wrong day. Pesach's on the wrong day. But Hashem put us in control of this. Hashem says, this is from you guys. Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chadashim Yelachem. This is going to be the first of the month for you. You are going to have to sanctify this. This is up to you. I am in control of what happens above, where the sun is, where the moon is. But unlike with Shabbos, which comes with sunset and sundown and sundown, Rosh Chodesh is different. This is when you spot the moon. This is when you recognize what is happening up above. So he says this removes us from feeling like we are completely at the whim of what is happening up above. We are in control. We are not just fearing and celebrating like the primitive people who feared where the moon went and celebrated its return. Rather, we are in control. We recognize that there is a cycle. We are meant to identify with part of the cycle, and we are meant to act accordingly. When we see this element, we then act accordingly, which will demonstrate to us how we should then proceed forward. But Rav Hirsch said specifically, he wants to emphasize this point of meeting, that what is then significant about Rosh Chodesh, besides for putting the power into our hands, the ability to sanctify time, which connects back to the idea of the Sforno, that now time is in our hands. Now we are able to do something with our time. But he says, what is deeper? When does Rosh Chodesh happen? Rosh Chodesh happens, the new moon happens when the moon, the earth, and the sun are directly in line. That the moon is directly in between the sun and the earth in a straight line. And that's why the moon, it appears to be so, so tiny, we can barely even see it. Because of the way that the reflection is happening, it is so direct, it is so closely connected that we only see a tiny, tiny sliver. But Rav Hirsch says this is specifically the point of Rosh Chodesh. That he says Rosh Chodesh is meant to be that meeting point. That just as once a month, the sun and the moon directly align, they directly meet up with one another. This cycle of each month where we go through periods of more darkness, periods of more light, is meant to bring us ultimately back each month to reconnect with Hashem. Then he said Rosh Chodesh is this time where we are able to recognize that we have returned to that connection point. And he said we should embrace that connection point. That's where we recognize that Hashem is not just operating a world that we have no part in. But rather, Rosh Chodesh is the partnership. It is the place at which we reconnect with Hashem and we embrace the fact that Hashem has put us in control of our lives. That Hashem has said to us, connect with me and you will be able to act as a Jewish people. That each month I want you to reconnect with me to recognize the power that I have given you. To recognize the power in this relationship with God, to recognize that because of this connection point, you are able to do so much more. So what is Rav Hirsch telling us for our questions? Why do we have Rosh Chodesh? We have Rosh Chodesh for two reasons. It is meant to be our meeting point. It is meant to be our moed with Hashem. It is our time to reconnect. It is our time to recognize our connection with God. But not only for it to stay there, Rosh Chodesh is also our time to recognize our role, not only in our relationship with Hashem, but our role in connecting to the world as a whole. That we are not just passive recipients of everything that Hashem gives us, rather Hashem has given us the power to act on our own. That Hashem has given us the power to be in control of what our Avodas Hashem looks like, how we are going to observe, when we are going to observe it. That yes, with this, we run the risk that perhaps we are observing Yom Kippur on the wrong day. That we are fasting on what really should be the 11th of Tishrei. But Hashem runs that risk in order for us to feel empowered in our Avodas Hashem, empowered in our relationship to the world and our relationship, most importantly, with Him. Why then give it at this point in our story? We are here at this tension point right between Makas Bechoros and the Exodus from Egypt. Because Hashem is saying, this is how I want you to approach the next stage. I want you to recognize that although you have seen my tremendous power, I have been totally and completely in control here. I have changed the laws of nature. I have made things, miracles happen that nobody could have ever imagined. But this is not going to be the remainder of our journey together, Am Yisrael. You are going to have power as well. I had to establish myself. I am the God of the entire universe. I'm your God, and I am acting on your behalf. I'm going to take you out of Egypt, but then you are going to receive the power as well. So Hashem is starting off here with the very first mitzvah, right at this very intense point by saying, HaChodesh hazeh lechem rosh chadashim. I want the first mitzvah that I give over to you to be one where you are able to show your initiative. You are able to show your desire to engage and your ability to engage. So Hashem, starting off with it all, coming out of this period of such a high concentration of Hashem's power, Hashem is handing over some of the power to us. Hashem is saying, you are going to have a role here. So again, to recap our 3 points, why do we have Rosh Chodesh? Why is it given at this point, according to the Sforno? The Sforno says this was our transition from enslavement to freedom. That we are going to recognize that our time is now ours and we must use it. We must sanctify it accordingly. The Ramban is saying that the reason Hashem gives us Rosh Chodesh here is because this is going to be the springboard for everything that comes afterwards. That everything we are going to do is going to connect back to our Geula, to recognize that everything we are going to be able to do from this point forward is only because of the Geula, and we are going to remind ourselves of that constantly. That we are going to count our months according to this original, this high point, this Geula, and everything is going to stem from there. And lastly, the approach of Rav Hirsch is that Rosh Chodesh is our moed with Hashem, that it is our festival, but it is also our meeting point. This is the point at which we have human involvement directly connect with God's power, that Hashem is handing over to us a bit of the power of this world and saying, you have seen me up until this point. It has been God's power, God acting on your behalf. Now, at this point where you are transitioning out of Egypt, Hashem is handing over some power to us and allowing us to take initiative, allowing us to recognize that by connecting ourselves to Hashem at this meeting point, using this time to reconnect to Hashem every month, we are also embracing our own power, that without our own initiative, our own power, this Rosh Chodesh would never happen. So Mirtz Hashem, I hope that coming off of Rosh Chodesh yesterday and moving into the commandments of Rosh Chodesh that we are going to read this week in the Parsha, we are able to embrace the power given over to us through Rosh Chodesh. We are able to recognize the control we have over our time and use our time wisely. We are able to recognize how everything that we have the ability to do in this world is only because we were originally saved by Hashem. That the tremendous amount of gratitude that we must have towards Him, but also recognizing that we must use everything that Hashem entrusted us with at the Geula, the power that Hashem hands over to us in order to make a difference in this world and reconnect back to Hashem.